So, of course, we had the eclipse last Monday, and of course, we didn't really see much of it over here in Tennessee because, well, it was a very cloudy day, so it really wasn't that big a deal. But some of the things that this eclipse caused humans to do leading up to the eclipse is a very big deal. In the few days leading up to the eclipse, there was a woman who dined out at a few different restaurants and left hundreds of dollars in tips. Overall, she ended up leaving $1,000 in tips. She left a $300 tip at one restaurant and a $700 tip at another restaurant. Well, in case you didn't know, the rapture did not happen last Monday, and she had the audacity to go back to these restaurants and ask for that tip money back. Naturally, the restaurant said no, especially since they pointed out that you allowed the transaction to happen, even pointing out that they brought their managers out to confirm with her that this was a real transaction. She accused the restaurants of frauding her out of hundreds of dollars, but no action was taken because she allowed for this to happen. Clearly, the baby boomer lead poisoning brain is alive and well. But oh, to be a fly on the wall in a circumstance like that. Just to listen to this nonsense of someone saying, "Hey, I thought we were all gonna die on Monday, so that's why I left you all this money, but now I'm gonna need it back." Could you imagine that situation? Well, don't worry if you can't. I'll help you out right now.
Hey.
Oh, hello, ma'am. Welcome back. I never got a chance to thank you for the insanely kind tip you gave me. It was so generous. I still don't know what to say.
Yeah, about that. See, I thought we were all going to be raptured on Monday, and I figured, since you're a kind-hearted person to everyone you meet, and you didn't automatically judge people, you were against God and would be left behind. So I wanted to make sure you, well, were well taken care of.
Kind of a nut punch, but thank you.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I kind of can't afford that tip I gave you, so I was wondering if you could give it back.
Oh, well, no.
Excuse me?
Honey, that money is spent. That was rent, car payment, and ice cream for me. So nope, sorry, can't do it.
Okay, so you're just stealing money from people. Is that it? You had access to my card and you just ran yourself up a nice tip. I see how this place is.
Ma'am, we handed you the machine and you typed in the amount.
Here I am, a struggling single mother living paycheck to paycheck, and you rotten thieves just want to take literal food out of my mouth to fatten your bank account. You monsters!
Ma'am, our manager verified the tip with you. Also, you drove here in a Mercedes. And you used your husband's card.
So this is how society crumbles, huh? This is how it all ends? Businesses are so hard up now, they'll hire straight up criminals to work in their establishments and just let them do whatever they want. All I want is my money back. That's it. And you refuse to give it to me? What do I have to do? Beg? Is that it? Fine. Please, please give me my money back.
You also left a note that says, "I'm giving this money to you. This is not a mistake. Please don't give it back, even if I beg. This money is for you, my waitress."
Unbelievable. Ah, hi! I told you! I told you the rapture was coming. Now you all will learn and pay for your sins. Enjoy my money while you can, sinners! I'm getting raptured!
No, that was just some of the extremely high winds we've had lately. She'll be back in 3, 2, 1.
Ah! Ow.
Live from wherever you are and whenever you're listening to this, it's the Smokin' Hot Toddcast with your host, Hot Toddy, starring Miranda, Ollie, Miss Pingrino, DJ Pork, Sheila, D.A. Williams, and Orson Welles. And featuring me, your announcer, Doc Summit. And now, here's your host, Hot Toddy.
We have returned. Welcome to an all-new episode of the Smokin' Hot Toddcast. I'm Hot Toddy. We've got a good one for you this week, and it's great to be back also. Of course, we had another nice break, but we have returned. We're always ready to get back at it, and I'm really excited about this episode. We haven't had an interview on this show in quite a while, and I knew the very person that I wanted to be on this show, and she agreed to do it, and I was really happy and excited that she said yes. She is a local author here in the Knoxville, Tennessee area. Her name is Taylor Cantrell. Now, I've been watching her. We've been friends on Facebook for a couple of years now, I think, and I've been watching the entire process of her been writing this book, finding the artwork, doing all this stuff, and I've been a silent cheerleader in the background because I knew that she was going to be able to do it, and I couldn't wait to see the finished results, and she finally did it on April 5th of this year. Her book, Code Red, Reclaiming Wonderland, was officially released. And from the sound of it, it's an amazing novel. And we're going to hear all about it, the possible upcoming sequels, and more in this week's episode. And that is why this week's episode is called Code Red, The Rise of Taylor Cantrell. Because she truly is a rising star. And we're going to be seeing lots more of her in the near future. So sit back and enjoy my interview with Taylor, and of course, we'll also have some other things going on the show as well. Now, just like every interview we do, we're going to cut the interview up into four different pieces so that we can do other things in the show. So you'll hear a few minutes of it, then we'll cut to something else, and then we'll come back to the interview. It's kind of my way of making you stay for the entire show, so you can't go nowhere. But we've got Taylor and tons of fun on the way on an all-new episode of The Smokin' Hot Toddcast.
You're listening to The Smokin' Hot Toddcast with your host,
Todd. Just Todd. Todd is helpful, and Todd is there for you.
Well, it's actually Hot Toddy.
Oh, well, pardon me, Mr. Perfect!
Well, one of the things that I love about doing this show is that I get to showcase local talent in our area because, you know, so often I think local talent doesn't get the recognition it deserves. And we try our best, but, you know, being someone who's in the local scene, you want to know exactly who's out there doing the same thing as you do and, you know, and making the thing happen for them. And that's exactly what we're doing this week. Another installment of that where we talk to a local creator, and it's another local author, somebody that I've been watching over the last few months and just seeing the excitement grow as this book was finally getting finished. And now it is officially published in the book is out there. It is called Code Red, Reclaiming Wonderland. It's available now for purchase, and we have the author here. It is Taylor Cantrell. Taylor, thank you for joining me.
Oh, it is my pleasure. I've been very excited ever since you asked.
Good. I'm glad. Well, let's get right into it. You know, this book, how long did it take for you to get this book written? What was the process even?
So, this is a long story, so we'll just jump right in.
Go into it.
I actually started Code Red on May 1st of 2017. I know the exact day I started it.
Whoa.
I had been writing a totally different book that I was probably about halfway through, and then I saw the second Tim Burton Alice in Wonderland movie, and it just triggered the idea, and I sat down and I started writing it. I wrote the book beginning to end in 5 months. I finished it in September of 2017.
Wow.
Then I started the editing process, and the editing process is definitely the most, like, in my opinion, it was most grueling for me because I did all of this myself. I didn't go through a publisher, which generally with traditional publishing, you don't have to worry about too much editing because you're going to end up with an editor when you published through a publisher.
Right.
But I didn't do that. So we had to do rigorous editing to make sure that it was going to go out and be good enough for public consumption, which I feel like it is. So hopefully anyway, I had a lot of life stuff happen after I finished the book and had started editing, and like my grandmother passed away and I met my fiance, and it just, life kind of happened for several years.
And kind of a mixture of emotions there too.
Yeah, it was, you know, I've had some really highs and some really big lows. Yeah. And writing, definitely when you're going through something like depression, it's really hard to write. It's hard to, you know, find the time. And so, you know, it took a long time. In 2022, I finished the biggest, what I believed at the time was going to be the biggest amount of edits. And I handed it off to a various number of my friends and people I knew who loved to read and said, tell me what you think. And they all came back with really good notes and things that needed to improve. And so from about the last quarter of 2022 to about the last quarter of 2023, I spent a year editing. True, like, words on the page editing. It went from being about 66,000 words to being over 90.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I believe it was September or October of last year, I finished it. Mm-hmm. I handed it off once again to two of the people who had read it previously and had them read the edits. I read through it, made just a few final touches. And in January, I started book two and I announced book one's publishing date.
Right.
And we released April 5th of this year.
Absolutely. And see, that's crazy to me that, like, because I mean, a lot of people don't understand that, you know, artistry and creativity is not absolute. It's not something that can just come on a whim. These things take time, and it takes time to grow. And like everyone that I've known in recent history who have found success in their artistry took a lot of time to grow and advance in that. And so I mean, to hear that you started in 2017, it may be shocking, but it's really not that shocking because, like you said, or like I said, this is a thing that has to continue on until it's fully complete. And so it took that long to do it.
It did. I decided last year that if I didn't do it now, I wasn't ever going to.
We're going to do it. And absolutely.
We did it. We hit the ground running, and I had a lot of really great help. I actually, my cover artist is also local. She lives about 10 minutes away from me. I live in Coryton.
That's very handy.
Yeah, so we met on Facebook in a girl group in the mm-hmm. area, and we got to talking, and I was like, yeah, I really need a cover artist. You know, we're ready to hit the ground, but I don't have cover. So
right.
It really worked out, kind of like everything lined up and was wonderful. And yeah.
That's the way it rolls. So now when you wrote the book, like where did the ideas come from? Like what gave you this idea?
Well, I'm so bad about answering this question because the initial thought, my novel, I guess I should tell everybody what it is about. Mm-hmm. It is obviously an Alice in Wonderland retelling. It is dystopian. So it's set, you know, people think Hunger Games, which is mm-hmm. not necessarily a bad comparison in the time period it kind of takes in, time in. So it's kind of post America post the world's downfall. And so in Code Red, there is one city, it is the last city standing on Earth. And you find out why it's the last city standing as you read the book. But and more on that in book two.
Ah, a little teaser for everybody there.
Hello, this is President Barack Obama, and you're listening to Hot Toddy on the Smoking Hot Podcast.
And that was authentic. I promise.
And me, D.A., and I have no idea why I'm here.
Well, allow me to explain. You see, we didn't have anything really planned for this part of the show, so I talked Todd Toddy into letting me do this old routine from back in the day called What Kind of Dog Is It? And the way it works is I'll say, guess what? My dog had pups, and the straight man says, what kind of dog is it? And the other guy says, female.
Is that it?
Well, yeah.
That ain't funny at all.
Well, yeah, but we're not performing it. It's funnier when you perform it. So come on, let's do it.
Okay, fine.
Okay, here we go. D.A. and I will now perform What Kind of Dog Is It? Here comes D.A. walking down the street. Whoa, hi, D.A.
What street am I walking down?
What difference does it make?
Just give it a name.
Okay, Main Street. You're walking down Main Street.
Okay.
Here comes D.A. walking down Main Street. Whoa, hi, D.A.
Oh, hi, Ollie.
Guess what? My dog had pups.
Oh, was it your Cocker Spaniel?
No, it wasn't my Cocker Spaniel.
Then it ain't your dog.
No, D.A., it was my dog, but it's not my Cocker Spaniel. Pretend like I have a new dog.
All right, well, what do you want me to do?
All you say is, what kind of dog is it? That's it.
That's it?
Yeah, now work with me. Here comes D.A. walking down Main Street. Whoa, hi, D.A.
Oh, hi, Ollie. What kind of dog is it?
No. You have to wait. You have to wait for me.
I already know your dog had pups. You just told me.
No. God, we're starting over. When I say, my dog had pups, you say, what kind of dog is it? Work with me!
Now, after she's had the pups.
I don't want you to analyze this.
I've never heard this bit before.
Shut up! Look at me! All you say is, what kind of dog is it? That's it!
Okay. I think I got it now.
Good! All right. Now, here comes D.A. walking down Main Street.
Hi, Ollie.
What the hell are you doing?
What?
You don't say hi, Ollie. I say hi, D.A., because you haven't seen me.
Well, I thought I was looking at you.
No, I'm not there yet. First I say hi, D.A., then you say hi, Ollie. I'm not on Main Street, so how can you say hi, Ollie?
Well, where are you?
I'm on Cumberland Avenue. I see you way down there. Your back's to me. You're on Main Street. You can't see me. How can you say hi, Ollie, when I
thought I saw you.
It wasn't me!
Well, it sure looked like you.
It wasn't me!
Well, whoever it was had your dog.
Oh, for God's sakes! I give up. I'm done.
No, come on, Ollie. You worked this hard on the scene.
I know. And look, I was given airtime to do something I thought was special. I wanted to include you in it, and you just poo-poo all over it.
Okay, all right. Well, how do you want me to do it?
Do it verbatim as I told you to do it.
Okay, you got it. Verbatim.
Here comes D.A. walking down Main Street. Hi, D.A.
Hi, Ollie.
Oh, how you doing?
Fine.
Guess what?
What?
My dog. Well, she had pups.
What kind of dog is it? Female?
Son of a bitch!
You're listening to the Smokin' Hot Podcast.
I didn't originally plan for it to be a dystopian. I didn't realize when I sat down to write it that that's what it was going to be. The only question I had, because on top of being a dystopian and a retelling, it's also like a why choose polyam romance. And the question that I asked myself when I started writing it, when I saw the Tim Burton second movie, I thought, what would an Alice in Wonderland polyam type relationship look like, and how would those characters interact, and what would they look like? And it kind of started there. And I think when I started it, I would have never guessed that it would turn it into nothing at all what you would expect when you ask yourself that question. Kind of the rest of it happened. The characters kind of just told me what the world was like and what was going on, and I changed my writing style part of the way through the editing and writing of this book. I had originally been a writer who planned everything. Mm. I had these deep outlines. And what I found as I kind of learned my writing process and I started writing is I write best and I write the best stories when I'm not really thinking about it. So now it's, you know, I have a bullet point list of like, I know it's going to begin like this. I know it's going to end like this. And I know these things are going to happen. And I just let the characters tell their story. And it was a big difference.
That is, if that's not the truth, I don't, because on this show, we write sketches and stuff and, you know, we just write, you know, whatever comes to mind. And I have found this has been one of the hardest seasons to write recently because I feel like I've had to put more time into it and thinking. It's like you said, I keep getting mad at myself because like the best stuff and the easiest stuff to write is the stuff that just comes to your mind when you're not thinking about it and you just write it down and then you're done. And so I know exactly that feeling, and not in terms of author, because I mean that you went above and beyond. I'm talking about stupid little sketches that we make on this show, but the writing process is so similar. It's you have to let the words pour out of you, because if you think about them, you're not going to do it correctly.
My number one piece of writing advice when I've talked to other like aspiring writers is don't ever look back at what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I am currently 31,000 words into book two, which I wish I felt like was enough, but I want to have it done by summer.
Sure.
So hopefully we have a release date about this time next year.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't planned much of this book at all. It has taken already so many turns that I would not have expected, but I haven't looked back at any of them because you get wrapped in your perfectionism and wanting to really be perfect and really draw in the audience. And you don't think as a writer, you begin to think as a reader or mm-hmm. as a consumer of your own work. And that is necessary, but it also, when you're in the middle of writing, it is your greatest downfall, because when you start thinking as a consumer, you're no longer in your creative headspace.
One of the things I learned in writing, both when I was in school and as I've been, like, you know, writing these, you know, things that for the show, is that you need to write what you would like to see, write what you would like to hear, because, you know, because if you're writing down what entertains you, people will grasp onto that. They'll glom onto it and be like, that is interesting. Let's do it. So that is the greatest piece of advice, is write what you know, write what you want, write what you would want to listen to, what you would want to read, what you would want to see, and the rest will just come naturally.
Very much so. People don't expect, when they sit down to write, it to be hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I've come across is, oh, it can't be that hard. Everybody wants to write a book, but it actually is. It can be really difficult because you're not, ultimately, if you do want to publish, you're not just publishing for yourself. You know, your goal ultimately is to have a readership, and, I believe fully in authenticity. So I write 100% like not for the reader. I write for the story and the story's sake. And sometimes, you know, you end the book on a cliffhanger and people threaten to murder you.
Right. It's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
You get more. I mean, it's a good thing. And more onto that point, because now the first book is out. I want to know what that feels like. What does that feel like? To have this book to go, because I went to Amazon and I was starstruck, because it's like, I know this person. I see them. I know this person who wrote this book, and here it is on the Amazon books with everybody else. How does it feel to go to Amazon, go to these places and see your work there for people to purchase?
Unreal. Yeah. I haven't, the book's been out for just over a week now, and it's still not real to me. It's not mm-hmm. real to me that people are reading it, that I'm getting reviews on it. It is just completely, I just started a new job, and I was sitting in my training class a couple of weeks ago, and I had sent out advanced reader copies, and I was looking at Goodreads, and I had gotten my first three reviews, and I gasped aloud in the middle of class, and I can't say I almost cried.
Right.
I did, but I won't admit it. And it's still extremely unreal. And the fact that, like, earlier this week, I was on an author live in a Facebook group that I'm in, and I was talking to two other indie authors. One of them had been reading the book, and her, first of all, glowing review, and just her encouragement. She was like, you know, you're a published author now. And I still can't believe it. You know, I don't think it'll set in until I've done it
mm-hmm.
probably 50 more times. but it's been a great experience so far, and I really look forward. I've got to make really good connections with people too. You know, there's a community out there that I am so excited to finally get to be a part of. Yeah, I think it's been, I can't believe I'm a published author. If people have been reminding me of that for a week, and it's still crazy.
Still hasn't quite set in yet that's a real thing that's happened here. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Emily Marsh from Mystery Science Theater 3000, and you're listening to Hot Toddy on the Smokin' Hot Toddcast.
The Smokin' Hot Toddcast presents The Ollie Report, a segment dedicated to extremely professional and hard-hitting journalism. Reports on headlines straight off the news ticker through the eyes of Ollie. And now, The Ollie Report.
Hello and welcome to an all-new Ollie Report. I'm Hot Toddy. Well, the Trump saga continues as the former president is now going back on trial, this time for the hush money. That's right, of course, this is the trial that's based around the allegation that Trump made a hush money payment to an adult film star, Stormy Daniels, in an effort to conceal damaging information about him during the 2016 campaign. Well, when I say the word circus, you can take that to the bank. Donald Trump
and his defense team are all over the place, just like they've been in the past trials. But naturally, this is big news, so we wanted to get Ollie on the scene. So now, live from New York City is the one and only Ollie. Ollie, hello, sir.
I see a lot of buildings, Hot Toddy. They're very tall. Someone told me that they're called skyscrapers. I don't get it. Oh, wait! Because they could scrape the sky with their needles. Is that a sex joke? I'm hungry. I also like that Red Bull. You ever had that Red Bull? Biscuits!
Okay, well, right off the bat, Ollie, we're in a weird thing. Okay, well, let's get right into it. Well, Trump's defense team is not helping out very much, and to make matters worse, I actually share a name with one of his defense attorneys, and that's not making me happy at all. Well, as we are recording this, 7 jurors have been chosen for the trial, and they have tried to weed out both anti- or pro-Trump people in order to create this jury. Have you spoken to any representatives to get their feeling on how the jury selection is going?
I got drums for Christmas. I got drums.
Okay. God. You know, it becomes increasingly more difficult to talk to you, and we've been doing this for a decade.
Cats and dogs don't have butt cheeks!
I still don't know what that means. 10 years later, I still don't know what that means. But it's fine. Well, Trump isn't helping his chances either. Apparently, the judge accused him of intimidating prospective jurors. Have you spoken to the Trump camp to get their reaction on this?
Hell no! You talk about somebody getting intimidated. Can we count up how many times I've had the living crap beat out of me by these people?
Oh, so you are normal.
When you ask me stupid questions like that, hell yes! Hashtag Nulix!
All right, I don't get it. And I have a feeling as I go into this next question, we're going to be interrupted by Howdy Ho, everybody! And right on cue.
President Trump, we wondered if you heard me here.
Yay's right, Ollie. Hello, Hot Toddy. It's good to see you fellas.
Uh-huh.
I tell you what, this is a kangaroo court. This is the most bickly-edged facade in American history. They are trying to hush me up, much like I tried to hush Stormy Daniels up with money.
What?
Anyway, fellas, I just wanted to come on here and talk about how ridiculous this whole thing is.
But Mr. President, weren't you intimidating jurors?
Weren't you intimidating jurors? That's what you sound like.
Also, Mr. President, you have been blatantly disregarding gag orders and talking at your rallies in front of thousands of people. Do you have any explanation as to why you're doing that and just straight up breaking the law?
I have complete immunity. At least that's what I'm hoping the Supreme Court's gonna say.
And if we find out that the president does have complete immunity, does that mean Joe Biden does too?
Fake news! You are fake news media! Pure evil! Pure evil!
And what's terrifying is that there are real people that eat that up.
Hashtag yuppers!
Listen, fellas, this whole thing is redonkulous. It's just big-edge ridiculous. It reminds me so much of the great Battle of Gettysburg. You remember the Battle of Gettysburg? We all remember Battle of Gettysburg. We were all there for it. When the great Union and the great Confederacy, they fought against each other, and you know, people were, it was so great. It was awful, but it was great, and people died, but it was like, you know, people didn't die too, and they died for freedom, you know, and then Robert E. Lee, you know, he's not in favor anymore, that Robert E. Lee.
You mean the guy that was the commanding general of the army that supported slavery?
He's right. You know, he's not in favor no more. You know, he'd say things like, never fight uphill, me boys, and he'd say, you know, don't go chasing waterfalls, and where's the beef? He said all those things, and they were just great quotes. But we don't like Robert E. Lee anymore, so that's why we don't read those quotes. And it's just to distract you from what else is going on in the world. Just this week, a report came out that an illegal look at this, and it's just George Washington, who's not in favor anymore. You know, he fought in the Great Battle of China. He fought in China against Hitler and Buzz Lightyear.
All right, that's enough, Mr. President. Thank you. Well, thank you for joining us and. Yeah, he did that in court this week, too.
Isn't it ironic?
It certainly is. We'll see you next time.
That's going to do it for the Ollie Report this week. Tune in next time for another headline ripped from the Ollie News Ticker. Until then, have a good day and an Ollie-ful week.
Hot Toddy. Hot Toddy. Hot Toddy.
You're tuned into the Smokin' Hot Toddcast with your host, Hot Toddy, who's always looking real good.
Hey, does this suit make me look fat?
No. Your face does.
You've done it. You've done the thing. And for this story that you started with that just came out a week ago, you said the sequel's coming up. How many do you see this being like a Star Wars, like a continuing story, or like Alice in Wonderland, or do you just like you're just kind of going by the seat of your pants? Let's see what happens next.
So I know that there's going to be three books. Mm-hmm. I'm currently writing book two. I already know pieces of what book three is going to look like. I do think after book three, I will take a break from this world. I actually have 18 other kind of works in prog. Yeah. Whoa. It's pretty massive. I have a OneNote for the record. Mm-hmm. OneNote is your best friend when you're.
Yes, it is for all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. I am a OneNote girly, and I have, other than the Reclaiming Wonderland series, I have about 18 other projects. Most of them are series because I'm long-winded.
That nothing wrong with that at all.
No. So I've had just a really great experience, and I know that there might be. I think I've been kind of toying with the idea of after the main three books getting a chronicles together of some anthologies. So you get to see some side character stories and some of the stuff that I'm not going to have time to touch on in the regular story. Sorry, my computer screens.
That's fine.
But I can't wait. I do know it's going to be three books. I don't expect we'll get anything. Probably won't get anything else Reclaiming Wonderland after that for a year or two, because I really do have some other projects I'm really excited to move on to.
Nice. But
the goal is to have the next two books out over the next 2 years. And maybe I might start working on some other projects to release in the meantime.
Very nice. Well, since we're on the subject, can you give us a little bit, like what's some of the other projects? Just like a little probe here and there. What's coming up?
Which ones do I want to talk about? Because I have so many. I think I'll talk about the first one I ever started writing. So I started writing my first novel at 14. It was 2012. And it is probably a 7-book series. It's werewolves, it's royalty, it's all the supernatural creatures that you can imagine. It's got Norse mythology. And that series is so built out. It's going to be my Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. It probably has a little while before it comes, but what I'm currently really thinking about moving on to is, a series. It would be a series. I know right now there would be four books, but each book, it all would take place in a small Appalachian town, because I grew up in a small Appalachian town.
Right.
And we're gonna be dealing with not only small town antics, but also I'm a supernatural girly, so there might be mm-hmm. some cat shifters and some grim reapers involved. But I definitely have heavy fantasy is my bread and butter.
Right.
I also have a Greek mythology story that I really would like to read or to write. Gosh, I'd like to read it. That would be great.
That'd be great too. Yes. First you got to write it, then read it.
Yeah. Then I get to read it. Mm-hmm. Those are probably the next three that I'm going to really focus on.
Nice. Wonderful. Wonderful. So you're doing this now. And I think overall, I think I probably know the answer to this question, but if I can get the words out, do you want this to be your career? Is this where you want to be?
That's the dream. I think, of course, I think any indie author would tell you, if I could make a living off of this and do just this, I would love to. I think if I could, I would certainly get more than one book out a year.
Mm-hmm, right.
So yeah, I think this is definitely, my greatest dream is to just mm-hmm. be an author. Travel the world and write and live my life.
and do the thing. Absolutely. Absolutely. So from this point forward, I mean, you're working on the next book. There's going to be two more probably in this series. Where do we go from there? I mean, you've already given us a little bit of what's going on, what's coming up next, but like over the course of the next few years, like how many books do we see coming out? What's next for you?
So I won't reveal the title. Well, no, I will. I'll reveal the title.
All right. Exclusive. Exclusive right here.
Exclusive. exclusive title of book two. I was not planning to release it until next week, but book two is called Blue Dreams. So it's Reclaiming Wonderland number two.
Beautiful.
We are working on the cover currently. Mm-hmm. And I intend for it to come out in the first quarter of 2025. So we're hoping, you know, by April, maybe May, we'll have it out. And my intention is, once I finish book two and send it to beta readers, that I will start book three. Mm-hmm. So my hope is that if I'm very lucky and I'm very on task, we will get two books next year.
Wow.
One in the very first quarter, one in the end. At worst, again, the first quarter of 2026, we should see book three, which I won't reveal a title for because I'm still on. I do have one in mind, but I'm still on the fence about it.
You're listening to the most splendiferous, the most fantastic, the greatest podcast in the history of podcasts, the Smokin' Hot Toddcast.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.
There was a new Poopapalooza story. Poopapalooza at the pharmacy. Our favorite festival returned again this year.
Over here.
Uh-oh. She's pointing at you.
I will not clean that up. I will not touch it.
That's your job.
I will not look at it. I will not even know its existence.
If you work in the pharmacy, you are not required to clean that up.
No. When I worked at Pizza Hut, I had to clean up too much vomit.
Oh, no.
And I will never go back to it. No. I will walk out with the poop explosion.
No. This one wasn't a full poop explosion.
This wasn't in the bathroom.
Let me go into the story.
Did they play with it? I still don't understand this.
Okay.
Phenomenon.
So, this one customer, and she's on the spectrum. I can guarantee you.
Well, let's not go there, but okay.
And that's fine. What? I mean, we're almost all on the spectrum.
We all are.
I'm on the spectrum.
We are.
Anyway, this person who may or may not be on the spectrum.
We had to be. We have to be in order to work at the fancy pharmacy.
DDS. So slinging dope.
But it's pertinent to the story because she is on said spectrum. Uh-huh. She is very elaborate at explaining everything about her life.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. She's very open about it. She is not ashamed about it. And that's fine, and that's cool.
No, some things be shame.
Some things please be ashamed. Don't say these things.
Shame.
It just caught us off guard when she came in and we're like, hey, your scripts are not done yet. Give us like a few more minutes. They're going to be done. And she goes, okay. So she sits down. Well, like literally like 2 seconds later, I look to one of the other guys and I'm like, hey, they're done. Go ahead and ring her up. Like, let's get her out of here. It's cool. So he grabs them, looks at her, and he goes, and she's getting up, and he's thinking, you know, to come to the register because she sees him grabbing the bags, all this stuff. And he's
I swear
like,
to God, poop will lose better in the bathroom.
He's like, hey, I got you scared. Ready. I can go ahead and ring you up. And she's like, that's cool, but I just crapped myself. So where's your bathroom?
I know when you said she didn't like, she sat down. I was like, no.
Yeah.
She walked to the counter.
She did not whisper that at all.
What?
She blatantly just said, very loudly, because I can barely hear when I'm back there counting.
Mm-mm.
I can barely hear what people say at the front register because it's like so far away. And I'm in like an air bubble, if you will. She said it so loud. So loud. And I'm trying to be respectful. I'm trying to not laugh because, like, I need to be professional.
You laugh.
Like, I need to keep my stuff together. And I'm like, okay. So I duck behind my computer because at this point, I have to laugh. Like, I can't hold it anymore.
Exactly.
And so we're like, okay, well, the bathroom's like, she's like, where's the bathroom? I'm like, it's down the hall. Like,
yeah,
get it
no
up.
No kidding.
Are you going to get baby wipes? Like, I would have been like, here, I'll give you $2 just baby wipes.
So she comes back. And
that's not a toilet paper
like,
job.
We ring her up and
that's
everything.
A wet nap.
She leaves and I look at Mo and I'm like, so question. And he's like, oh, okay, answer.
And I'm like, what do we do about the chair she was sitting on?
Oh! Lysol sanitizing spray.
He's like, what do you mean, Janelle? He's like, she just said her pad came loose, right? And I'm like, no, Mo.
Oh, my God.
That is
That's like two totally different things.
Yeah, I'm like, that is not what she said.
My pad shifted from my poop to myself. Those are two totally different things.
I know.
They're not on the same spectrum.
I know. So I'm like, I told Mo, I was like, no, Mo, she said she crapped herself. Except I did not say crap. I said the S word because that is like
the other word we can't say here. Yeah.
When you do that in a chair in like 5 minutes is like the maximum she could have.
Yeah.
And she was familiar with poop in the chair. We dealt with that on this show once, if
like,
you recall.
Yeah. So yeah. I told Mo, I was like, should we wipe it down? Should we spray it? I'm like, I don't, like, I can't smell anything. I don't see anything on the chair. And Mo was like, good Lord. So he takes Lysol, and I mean, yep. He Lysoled that chair for like 30 minutes.
Yes.
Like, because he didn't know what to do.
Yeah, that's the type of thing oh my God.
Cause I'm like,
part of it's like, do you just like lay her down on the floor and like, you know, change her diaper?
I mean, she like did this and then just sat there. Oh. And I'm like, so was it like?
Like she had to have had an urge when she came up to see if her prescription was ready.
Look.
And when you said 5 more minutes, she should have like,
this is a PSA to everyone because this happens to everybody. If you feel a fart and it's taken a little bit hard of a push
if
to get it there.
Just leave it there.
If you feel the lump.
Like, no.
If you feel the lump, don't push the lump.
If you're having to squeeze that difficult, it is not a fart. Do not trust it and go to the bathroom.
Exactly.
ASAP.
But like, okay, so like, all right, but she was either going to crop dust.
Yep.
Either scenario, it wasn't going to be good.
It was not going to be good.
No.
Hi, I'm Emily Fleming from Good Mythical Morning, and you're listening to Hot Toddy on the Smokin' Hot Podcast.
Well, that's amazing. I mean, again, you're living the dream. You're doing the thing. And I don't know if I asked, I can't remember if I asked this question, but I'm going to ask it again. What inspired you to be an author? What made you want to do this?
Oh, my gosh. I am a huge reader. I love mm-hmm. books. My grandmother and my dad are big readers. My dad's also, you know, a writer. Maybe mm-hmm. I can convince him to publish one day.
Hey, but, there you go.
They cultivated such a love of stories in me. I mean, I was devouring books way mm-hmm. above my reading level. And I loved them, you know, of course you get the popular ones. Who doesn't love, you know, Percy Jackson and the Hunger Games.
Oh God. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, just the best stuff ever. I can't say I didn't have a little Twilight phase, you know.
Oh, everybody did. I mean,
everybody
that was
did.
Come on.
And you know, and even stuff that's more unheard of. But I, you know, from a young age, I love to read, and I had always, you know, had my own stories in my head, and you know, I hit high school, and I was ready to sit down and write, and I had a dream.
Mm-hmm.
Any of my book ideas come from dreams I've
right.
had. And I had a dream, and I couldn't stop thinking about it, so I decided to write it, and that is hopefully a series that will get released one day, because I think it would be very popular. I think people would really like it, but. Yeah, I just didn't ever stop writing. I've been writing ever since, which is how you
just
end up
kept waiting. Going. Just kept going. Yeah. And that's the way to do it. And now look at you now. You are a published author. Book 2 in the works. You've got a whole another group of series coming out in the future. We discussed how you felt about seeing that published novel online. How do you feel just overall knowing that this is happening now?
I think that I have to admit, in the beginning when it first started to become real, terrified.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so scary to share something you love. Because I love the story. I love the characters. I love this is a piece of me that I've put out into the world, which I think anytime you put art out, that's very much how it feels.
Mm-hmm.
And I was completely terrified. I was certain I was going to wake up from a dream at some point. And then, you know, as we got closer and closer, I was just extremely excited.
Right.
I was so excited that I've finally done it, that all the time, I have a blog. And mm-hmm. If you go back, you can see the beginning of my talking about writing and talking about the series. And I think I've gone back and looked at those posts and, like, sitting here today, being a published author, having my book out there, having people reading it, is just, it's joy. I would say mm-hmm. euphoria almost. Even, like, I don't think anybody who puts their art in the world doesn't have some ability to be critiqued. Like, you have to be prepared for the critiques. But even in the things that have been people who said, oh, I don't like the writing style, you know, honestly, I love that. Because
right.
Because any good book isn't for every person. And I think, you know, that makes it real. These aren't just people who love me leaving reviews who are mm-hmm. my friends. These are people who are just readers who are just getting to enjoy the story. And that is a beautiful, beautiful thing.
It really is. It really is. And now here you are doing the thing. But of course, Code Red is out on Amazon now. You can get it. And then the
it's
next
also novel, on Barnes & Noble.
Barnes & Noble.
Kobo, which is
nice.
Yeah, so it is. It's, we hope one day Apple Books, but Apple is very complicated to upload your book to.
Tell me about it. It took forever to get this show on Apple Podcasts. I was like, good Lord. Why Apple? Why are you just such a fortress? We're trying to give you content. Please help
us. Everybody.
Please help us. Lord have mercy. But no, so you heard it there. You can get this amazing book at these locations, and book two will be coming out hopefully at the beginning of the year. She's still working on it. We'll see what happens next. Oh, Taylor.
Well, my social media is for updates.
That's right. And yes, give a shout out. What social media can they follow you on?
Oh, they can follow me on Facebook. You can look up my first and last name, Cantrell Author. I have a page and a group you can follow. I have Instagram, T Cantrell Author. I think I have Twitter. It's probably, maybe, might be Taylor Talks. I have TikTok too, which
right,
I
of course
I TikTok a lot because I'm social media illiterate.
It's the same. That's why I went to YouTube and podcasts. I'm like, I can't do this TikTok stuff.
I've considered a podcast, but I think I would just get canceled.
Listen, if we've not gotten canceled, you're not getting canceled. You're fine. I mean, we don't say anything offensive, but it's like, I know people listen to the show and it's like, What are they about? Why are they doing this? It's episodes like this that ground us and make people want to say, oh, they're legit. They do legitimate things. They talk to people. Oh, good. I'll listen to that. So that's, you know,
that's the best part of being creative. You get to be silly sometimes.
Exactly. So no, if you can, like I said, you're the proof. If you dream it, you can do it, make it happen. And that's exactly what this is about. Taylor Cantrell, thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode. You have been fantastic, and congratulations on all your success.
Thank you. It has been my pleasure.
You are most welcome. We've been talking to Taylor Cantrell on the Smokin' Hot Toddcast.
You're listening to Hot Toddy on the Smokin' Hot Toddcast.
Oh, this blasted chair. It's been my nemesis for years now. Back in my day, chairs were made to last. None of this flimsy nonsense. But this one it's like sitting on a pile of rocks wrapped in a thin layer of fabric. Every time I settle into it, I feel like I'm one wrong move away from ending up on the floor. And don't even get me started on the cushioning. Or lack thereof. It's like sitting on a plank of wood. No wonder my back feels like it's been through a battlefield every time I manage to haul myself out of this torture device. And it does nothing. And I mean nothing. For my hemorrhoid. It's gotten so swollen recently, and I know that chair is doing it. Every time I sit down, my butt hits this one part where the wood meets the cushion, and it just irritates the hell out of it. I swear, if I had the strength, I'd toss this sorry excuse for a chair out the window and replace it with something decent. But alas, I'm stuck with it. Just like I'm stuck with the aches and pains that it flicks upon me every single day. Most notably, my swollen, bleeding hemorrhoid.
Sir, this is a Wendy's.
Ah, I see. Baconator and a Frosty, please.
Hi there, I'm Joey DiOria, and you're listening to Hot Toddy on the Smokin' Hot Podcast.
Taylor Cantrell, such a fascinating and extremely talented human being. She has tons of amazing stories on the horizon, both for the Return to Wonderland series and for many other series that she's working on. This is just the beginning for her. She is getting ready to dominate. And as we were talking about, you can now read her book, Code Red, Return to Wonderland. Get it, enjoy it. I'm going to be getting it myself and looking forward to reading it. So check out Code Red, Return to Wonderland as soon as possible. And another huge thanks to her for joining us on the show this week. And a quick shout out to Ollie and DA. The sketch they did earlier, What Kind of Dog Is It? Of course, I can't take credit for that sketch. That was something that was done by the Smothers Brothers, the legendary comedy duo from back in the 60s, 70s, 80s. Anyway, I saw them do this on YouTube just the other day, and I thought it was the funniest thing. And I said, I would love to see DA and Ollie do that. So that was a sketch originally done by the Smothers Brothers. So huge shout out to them as well. And that's going to do it for us on this week's episode. We've got another all new episode coming your way next week, so make sure you're ready for that. Until then, you can follow me on all social media. That's Smokin' Hot Toddy on Facebook, TikTok, and the platform formerly known as Twitter. You can also follow me on Instagram and Threads at Toddy, Hot. You can also check out the Smokin' Hot Toddcast on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, QuadPod, Spotify, and wherever better podcasts can be found. Super Fuzz Productions, the mother company of the Toddcast, can be found on YouTube, and that's where you can find the sister shows Get Real, Stump Pot Toddy, Played Out, and more. And you can follow Super Fuzz on that platform formerly known as Twitter at Superfuzz Videos. You can also follow some of the Toddcast gang on social media. We'll begin with X, or the platform formerly known as Twitter. Miss Pingrino at Pingrino, Sheila at Sheila Hawk, Doc Summit at Kev Summit. On Instagram, Miss Pingrino at Janelle Marino, Sheila at Sheila Hawkins, Doc Summit at Kev Summit, and Miranda at Miranda Panda Joe. You can also follow Miranda at Threads at Miranda Panda Joe. And on TikTok, Miss Pingrino at BabyJ0831, Doc Summit at Kev Summit, and Miranda at Miranda Panda Joe. Until next week, this is Hot Toddy saying goodbye, everybody. Goodbye.